Over several months, various players have come out to point a finger at the role immigration is playing in a long list of what ails our country. From inflation to housing affordability to struggling post-secondary institutions, new Canadians have become an easy target. I'm joined today by Pedro Antunes, Chief Economist at the Conference Board of Canada, and Catherine Denler, Senior Researcher in the Conference Board's Immigration Knowledge Area, to shed some light on the realities of Canada's immigration system. They'll peel back what challenges they see immigration actually contributing to and highlight the areas where new Canadians have become a scapegoat for broader or more entrenched problems. I'm Michael Bassett, and this is Economics Matters, a Conference Board of Canada podcast. Pedro and Catherine, welcome to Economics Matters.
Great to be here, Michael. Thank you.
Thanks, Michael.
Pedro, can you start by laying out the role immigration plays in the economy, why it happens, what economic issues it's intended to address, and where we are with the state of immigration today?
Of course, Canada has a long history of immigration, but I would argue that what we've seen, certainly in terms of our policy objectives in recent years and essentially going forward, is one that keeps our economy going. Without immigration, our labor force growth would be actually declining. It would be negative. And that's not because there's not young people leaving school, their school years, and entering the workforce. It's more to do with the fact that the baby boom cohort, which is still very much in the workforce, especially the late boomers, if you'd like, they are going to be leaving the workforce not in 10 years, not in 15 years, but really right now and over the next 5 years. There's a strong argument to be made for why we're seeing immigration levels ramping up. This was obviously what we had in line pre-pandemic, but essentially that is the objective of our immigration. When we look at the kind of levels plan that the federal government has put forth, we're seeing our population growth maintained at historical levels with those numbers, and that's at about 1% per year. Our labor force growth, a little bit weaker than that. And we think that this is an optimal growth pace for the economy. It's in line with what we've lived through historically. And it offers a lot more opportunity when you have slightly positive growth in your labor force than negative or flat growth. It drives more opportunity in terms of business investment. So I think this is a positive piece that Canada has always had and will continue to have. If we go back to 2019, we had a year when labor markets were very tight. We had seen immigration ramping up then. In fact, we had seen about 530,000 entrants into Canada. That is permanent residents, mostly permanent residents, but non-permanent residents as well. We had essentially a strong surge because labor markets were tight and we were seeing immigration fill a lot of those gaps. Now, in 2020, if we fast forward to the pandemic, of course, you know, embassies were shut down, we couldn't travel, and we saw our immigration levels. In fact, we saw non-permanent residents leaving the country more than they came in. And so our total immigration fell to just 88,000 in that year. Now, since the pandemic, the economy reopened very quickly in 2021 and 2022. We saw jobs surging again. And immigration was slow to catch up, especially in those early years. And we ended up with labor market stretched, drum tight, stretched to the hilt. The unemployment rate by mid-2022 had fallen to a record low, even lower than what we had in 2019, 4.9%. And the job vacancies in Canada surged in mid-2022 to over a million. This was double what we had in 2019, which was already a very tight labor market. I think this is why we've seen now this significant surge in immigration that started in 2022 and that's continued through the first half of this year.
Catherine, what do you see as the greatest challenges facing new Canadians, or I guess the system itself?
I think immigration presents an opportunity for Canada. And so the question is always how to make sure that immigration and settlement are working well. Immigrants are facing all the same pressures of the day that are being experienced by Canadian-born folks, as well as additional challenges by virtue of being immigrants, some of those structural barriers that immigrants face. And the goal is that immigrants are able to thrive in Canada. That's when they, you know, benefit from their decision to come to Canada, and that's when they're able to really contribute to the Canadian economy and really derive the benefits that we're seeking through immigration. Because immigrants face barriers that come from the process of immigration, Canada needs to be continually working to identify those barriers and to try to minimize those barriers so that immigrants have an opportunity to thrive. We know that discrimination casts a long shadow over the lives of people who are affected by it. So building welcoming communities and tackling discrimination is critical. We also know that immigrants really struggle to have their qualifications recognized to get employment in the fields where they have education, knowledge, and expertise. Addressing barriers to credential recognition, really speeding up that process of credential recognition, is important. But many professions aren't licensed. Sometimes it's not just about credential recognition, but it's really about making sure that employers understand the qualifications that immigrants bring, know how to recruit them, know how to bring them into the workforce. One thing that's important to keep in mind is that for the people who are chosen to come to Canada under economic streams, they have been rigorously vetted by the Canadian government and through a variety of processes. We're really selecting very skilled individuals to come to Canada. Those people who've been through that process, who've paid money to have their credentials recognized, who've been through a long and sometimes agonizing immigration process and come to Canada and find that their skills aren't recognized by employers, it's a little bit of a shock to the system. It's important that we are able to match people into the jobs that they are suited for, because that's what we spent that whole time selecting the right immigrants to come here. That's the purpose of that system. So a better match between immigrant skills and their employers really makes the best use of that immigration system, and it really benefits employers more.
What do you make about these increasingly loud voices that are pointing to rising immigration targets as one of the root causes of our housing affordability challenge? Pedro, why don't you start?
I think we need to put things in perspective here. We've seen a surge in immigration recently. There's been a lot of discussion now, a lot of commentary around the inflationary and housing affordability challenges that that might be bringing. If we go back and take a look at what drove inflation and what drove home prices, for instance, this picture or that kind of argument doesn't necessarily make a lot of sense. Inflation really took off. Let's talk about home price inflation first, but that really took off in 2020, 2021, and through the early part of 2022, before immigration numbers were rising. In fact, we were still dealing with that labor shortage and a lot of pressure on labor markets, essentially, through that period. But housing prices took off in that period because we had exceptionally low interest rates. We had a lot of pandemic-related savings we couldn't spend, and support programs were in there to buttress incomes. And of course, we couldn't travel, we couldn't spend on restaurants and accommodation. And of course, we were working from home. So what did we do? We wanted more housing, and we put in a massive amount of savings and a massive amount of new debt into essentially an existing stock of housing of 16 million units. And what does that do? That just upped the price by over 40% in just 2 years through that period. Right now, when we look at housing prices over the last year, they've actually started to come down, not because of immigration being up or anything to do really with immigration, but because interest rates have come up and really slowed the amount of capital, the amount of credit that's available to put in the housing market. So that's what's happening with home prices. What about inflation? Well, inflation also started to take off mostly in 2021. What happened in Canada happened globally. We all had all of that excess savings. We were looking to spend it on all sorts of mostly durable goods, and we couldn't get our hands on enough of that. We had this massive supply chain problem. Transportation wasn't up to speed yet, and that caused the start of inflation, which was then accelerated by Russia's invasion of Ukraine, which led to a global commodity price shock that added another layer to inflationary pressures. This is what drove inflation to start with. And now what the Bank of Canada has been concerned with has been really the domestic issues of inflation. And that is that inflation expectations came up. Now they're driving that concern around that spiral of wage increases to match inflation that happened and price increases that might follow. The Bank of Canada is really focused in now on the very tight labor market that we still have today in Canada, and the pressures that that might lead. And that's why we're seeing interest rates coming up, and we're trying to hammer back essentially demand and lower prices. One last piece to this story is what's immigration really done here? Well, there's no doubt that the strength in immigration that we've seen over the last year is going to add some pressures. You know, people come to Canada, they're going to need housing, they're going to need to consume goods. So there's no doubt that accelerating immigration as quickly as we did is going to create some stresses in the economy. But on the other hand, and this is the piece that is forgotten in most of the commentary, we are closing in on that labor supply shortage by allowing the supply of workers to outpace really that growth in demand. So we filled those job vacancies. We filled the biggest stresses in the labor market by adding to the number of workers that are available in Canada, mostly through this surge in immigration. Despite the fact that employment has been rising, our unemployment rate has actually also been rising. In other words, we've seen the increase in the number of workers outpace the demand for workers. What the Bank of Canada is trying to deal with. This is why we've seen interest rates coming up. If we are able to meet the challenge of a supply-constrained economy by adding to the workforce, this is one way that we're going to get inflationary pressures down, allowing us to hopefully get interest rates back down to normal at some point in the future.
Catherine, you did some work recently that looked specifically at this connection between the immigration system and the housing market, but you looked at it from a different perspective. I wonder if you could talk about the research that you did and the gaps that you're finding in the system and the suggestions that you have around how immigration might actually contribute to some of the housing challenges we see.
I'd be happy to. We know that housing policy is really multifaceted, and there's a number of challenges in the system that need to be overcome. But without a doubt, one of those is that Canada needs to be able to accelerate the pace of building. We need more new homes in Canada, and we are not currently building homes fast enough. There's a number that you may have heard before, which is that we need to build 3 million additional homes by 2030. And that's on top of the kind of building that we're doing now. That's an incredible pace of home building that Canada needs to achieve. At the moment, due to many of the pressures that Pedro's been talking about, we don't have enough workers to do that home building. So the research that we did was looking at where are those gaps in the residential construction industry? And to what extent is our immigration system suited to bring workers to help address those gaps? What we found is that there's a structural gap of about 12,000 workers in the residential construction industry.
Is that an annual gap or is that an overall gap?
That's what we see as a persistent gap. So we have a gap of about 12,000 workers going forward. If the current dynamics in the system stay the way they are right now, you know, there'll be a little bit of ebb and flow, but there's about 12,000 workers who will not be available to participate in the home building that we need. We know, of course, that much of the labor market growth in Canada comes from immigration. And so immigration is going to need to play a part in addressing those gaps. What we found is that the gaps are particularly focused in two occupations. We have a gap in carpenters, as well as construction trade helpers and laborers. So then what we looked at is, do we have the immigration policies in place to bring people into those occupations that are seeing the greatest gaps? On the one hand, a lot of construction trades are in theory eligible to be selected as immigrants to Canada. But in practice, they are frequently not being selected because other candidates who are in our kind of pool are having more points through education, expertise in Canadian languages. Oftentimes, those tradespeople are not being selected as immigrants. So the question then becomes, how do we make sure that there is an opportunity for people with skills in residential construction to get through? This year, earlier in 2023, the government announced a new type of selection called category-based selection that allows the government to select people with skills in particular areas. Many of the occupations that they chose as priorities or targets for 2023 are, in fact, those occupations where we see a big gap in residential construction. Continuing forward with that category-based selection is going to be a big help in terms of making sure we have the skills in Canada to build the homes we need. There are also challenges. So for example, construction trades laborers and helpers are not currently eligible for immigration programs. So in order to address that gap, we would need to make some tweaks to the immigration system. We recommend that Canada allocates some places within the current levels plan to make sure that we're bringing people who have skills in trades that are necessary for residential construction. It's going to be important to look at the lessons learned from this first round of category-based selection. Some of the questions are, do we have enough people in the express entry pool with those skills? I think there's some concern potentially that people aren't applying to immigrate to Canada because they don't think they're going to be successful. Do we have enough people in the pool? Was the first round successful? And then continuing to really pay attention to those labor market gaps so that those occupations with the biggest gaps can continue to be priority occupations in the future is going to be really important. We recommend that the Canadian government create a pilot program to bring people who have skills and experience working as construction trades laborers and helpers in order to meet that gap, because currently there isn't a program to bring those folks to Canada. We found the largest gap among carpenters, construction trade helpers and laborers, residential and construction installers, as well as contractors and supervisors within the carpentry trades.
Catherine's points address a very particular sector. We're feeling some of those inflationary pressures by adding to or looking at better addressing the supply gap in workers that we have. We look at what the government is intending to do. We're talking about, I think it's 3.5 million new housing units that we want to build. We've just invested massively and I guess have successfully won some major construction projects in batteries. These plants are going up very quickly. We're going to need manufacturing workers to fill those roles as well. Immigration is part and parcel of our ability to manage some of these changes to the economy that we want, some of the objectives that we have clearly laid out in both federal and provincial government budgets. The work that Catherine has done on this one piece is really important to get us a better understanding of what needs to change so that we adapt our immigration for the success of our economy and for the success of immigrants coming into the economy, which is a win-win for all of us.
I really see it as a good news story because we have a Canadian immigration system that is adaptable. And we are able to do something like category-based selection, where we bring people specifically in occupations that aren't otherwise being well served by the immigration system, and where we do see those labor market needs that Pedro is talking about. And it's really also to the benefit of immigrants. If we know that we need people working in these occupations and we bring people who have experience in those occupations, that's an opportunity for them to move into the jobs that they want and the jobs that they're looking for. It's really an opportunity for everyone. We're fortunate to be in a position that the immigration system serves the needs both of the Canadian economy and to help immigrants get what they are looking for in their decision to immigrate.
I want to ask you both a final question to help people who are watching the news or hearing people talk about the immigration system and hearing people pointing fingers to the immigration system as part of the problem. And I've had the benefit of working with you for a long time. I have a good understanding of the immigration system and the evidence that you bring to these discussions. People who are listening don't always have the same perspective. So I wonder if there's an idea or a piece of context that you think would help people to make better sense of the news they're reading about the immigration system or try to assess it.
We're facing some complex challenges. Many of them are a long time in the making. It can be too easy to say that these kinds of things wouldn't be happening if we didn't have these rising immigration levels. But the reality is that we are bringing immigrants to the benefit of Canadians. Given that we are trying to really drive economic growth through immigration, it's important to Canadians that immigration is successful. There's also concern that we take for granted that people want to come to Canada and that people want to stay in Canada. If they're not having good experiences in Canada, there is a risk that they will choose to leave and go somewhere else where they feel that they are going to be able to build a better life. We have done some research on that, which shows that onward migration, so immigrants coming to Canada and then moving on later to another country, that onward migration may be on the rise. That is cause for concern. If immigrants don't feel they can thrive in Canada, I don't think it sets us up for the kind of future we're looking towards. We have an opportunity to benefit from immigration, but it is important to make sure that immigrants are able to really thrive and build full and successful lives in Canada. Otherwise, we risk losing the opportunity that we gain by inviting immigrants to come here.
Pedro, what about you? What idea would you ask people to hold in their heads.
We've seen the number of immigrants coming into this country rise from 500 and some thousand in a good year to over 1.2 million in the last year. This is why we've seen a lot of concern. And certainly, I would agree that there's challenges when we've changed the pace of immigration so quickly in such a short period of time. This is coming at the same time when there's all of these affordability challenges, which I would argue are more to do with rents catching up to high home prices that we lived through in the past 2 years. And of course, the affordability challenges that higher interest rates are leading to. There's upward pressures on inflation from this rise in immigration and downward pressures, as I would argue, from filling that gap in the labor market that we've seen. It's hard to know what the balance would be. But what I would suggest is that when we hear about the challenges, we also take account of the benefits that immigration is helping with our labor force tightness. And that is the number one thing that the Bank of Canada is looking at these days.
Thank you both for taking the time to shed some light on the work that you've been doing and some of those economic realities of the system.
You're welcome, Michael.
Thank you.
Economics Matters is a Conference Board of Canada podcast. You can check out more economic outlooks and analysis at conferenceboard.ca. If you like what you hear, leave us a comment or rating on Apple Podcasts. Let us know how we're doing.